I don't know about you, but I feel that there's a lot more to lament at the moment than to celebrate. There's a lot more bad news than good news. Our country and the world as a whole seem to be getting farther and farther away from God and from His Word. The world is in a mess, and that's reflected in our increasingly messy lives. And there's plenty to lament to in the evangelical Christian world. And what about ourselves and our own lives and situations? Does life feel more like a party or a funeral? Well, having started on this rather negative note, let me say straight away that the title of this message this evening is He Can Turn Our Mourning Into Dancing. He can turn our mourning into dancing. And by He, I mean, of course, the Lord. And the reference to mourning and dancing comes from one of David's Psalms in the Bible. He wrote, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." Psalm 30, verse 11. And what the Lord did for David, He can do for us today. He can turn our mourning into dancing. We're continuing in the first book of Samuel this evening, and so far, again, it's been a lot more negative than positive. We've seen the terrible behavior of Eli's two sons, and we've seen Eli's own weakness as a father. We've seen two messages of judgment on Eli and his family. We've seen two defeats of the Israelites at the hands of their enemies, the Philistines. We've seen the Ark of the Lord captured by the Philistines. And we've seen a great many deaths. We've seen the tragedy that took place at Beth Shemesh, where we read the Lord struck the people with a great slaughter, not the Philistines, but His own people, the Israelites. He struck them with a great slaughter. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2, which was read to us earlier in this service. 1 Samuel 7, verse 2. This is a kind of conclusion or summary of the situation. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And listen to this. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And there was a lot to lament, wasn't there? But after all that bad news, we at last get to some good news. Because there was a great victory over the Philistines after those previous defeats. Verses 10 and 11 tell us about that victory. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. So at last there was some good news. There was a victory instead of defeat, as there had been before. And then there was a period, quite a long period, of peace and prosperity after that. Verses 13 and 14. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. So after all that war and bloodshed, and after those terrible defeats and so many people killed, including thousands of Israelites. At last, we come to victory and a time of peace and prosperity. In other words, the Lord turned the mourning of his people into dancing. Do we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing? If we do, what needs to happen? Let me suggest six things that we need if the Lord is to turn our mourning today into dancing. Firstly, if we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, we need leaders of integrity. We need leaders of integrity. We've seen in this book how Hannah asked the Lord for a son, and how the Lord answered her prayers by giving her Samuel. And we've seen in this book how Samuel came to know the Lord in chapter 3. And we've seen how he became a prophet of the Lord, recognized by all the Israelites as such. And in today's passage, we see Samuel as judge or leader over Israel. Now, Samuel wasn't perfect, was he? He was a sinner, like all of us. But he was a man of integrity. Integrity is not sinless perfection, otherwise there would be nobody of integrity, because we're all sinners. But it is possible, even as sinners, to be men and women of integrity. And Samuel was a man of integrity. And we see that throughout his story here in this book of the Bible. And that is what we need today. Leaders of integrity like Samuel at that time. And we see in this story and throughout this book how the Lord used Samuel as leader of the people of Israel to turn their mourning into dancing. So let's pray for our leaders, that they would continue to be leaders of integrity. And let's pray for more such leaders. And let us look for such leaders as a church. Shouldn't we be all the time asking the Lord to give us more leaders of integrity and to raise them up among us and in other churches and throughout the country and all over the world? It should be our daily prayer. Lord, raise up men like Samuel. Raise up more godly, faithful leaders, pastors, elders, missionaries, leaders perhaps in a broader sense in society. Surely one of the things that is so desperately missing in our country and in our world today is precisely leaders of integrity. But are we praying for them? Are we looking for them among us? Are we looking for the Lord's answers to our prayers for those new leaders of integrity? So that's the first thing. If we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, we need leaders of integrity. Secondly, if we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, we need faithful preachers. Faithful preachers. Samuel was above all a preacher, a faithful preacher. He received messages from the Lord for the people, and he faithfully passed on to the people those messages from God. And that is the essence of being a faithful preacher, isn't it? Faithful preachers don't make up their messages from their own imagination. Faithful preachers pass on to others what God has given to them in his word and through his word. And that's what Samuel did. Look at verse 3 here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." It's just one verse. And yet, even in this one verse, it's like a mini sermon. I'm sure it's a summary of one of Samuel's many, many messages from the Lord that he passed on faithfully to the people. Do you see how faithful Samuel was as a preacher? He was clear in his communicating to the people. He was passionate. He was courageous. He said things that he knew wouldn't be popular, that he wouldn't be applauded for. But at the same time, he was encouraging. Look at the end of verse 3. He says, "Serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." And the Lord was about to do that. So it wasn't all rebuke and no encouragement, but neither was it all comfort and no necessary rebuke. It was all of that because he was a faithful preacher of God's word at that time to God's people. So, do we want more preachers like Samuel? I don't know whether we want them or not, but we definitely need them. If there's one thing that the churches need today, if there's one thing that our society needs today, it is surely that God would raise up a new generation of faithful, godly preachers of God's word. We should be crying out to God day after day for that and thanking him when we see faithful preachers being raised up. But if we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, that is what he is going to use in his sovereignty, because he has chosen to work in that way. More often than not, God works through the faithful preaching and teaching of his word, the Bible and the gospel. So we need leaders of integrity. We need faithful preachers. I would say we can't have too many faithful preachers of God's word. We need more. Thirdly, if we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, then we need to repent of our sins. We need to repent of our sins. How did the Israelites respond to that message from Samuel, or from the Lord through Samuel? Look at the next verse, verse 4, here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. This was their response to Samuel's message. "So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only." Again, just a short sentence, just one verse again. And yet it sums up something wonderful. The way they responded to that sermon, that message from Samuel, they immediately responded positively. And they took his word seriously. And they did what he told them to do. They put away their false gods, their foreign gods. And they began to serve and worship the true God and him alone. What an amazing response. So yes, those who preach God's word are responsible to do that faithfully. But all of us, including those who preach, are responsible to respond to God's word. Do we do that? Do we respond to God's word when we read it day by day, when we hear it preached on Sundays or whenever? Do we have the attitude of the Lord is speaking to us and now we must respond to what he is saying to us through his word? What will we do in response to today's messages that we're hearing here in this church? It's not about how good or not so good the messages themselves may be, but surely all of us should be asking ourselves, how do I need to respond to what the Lord is saying to us through his word today? It's so easy just to close the service, have a cup of tea, go off home, go to bed, get up tomorrow morning, carry on with our lives. But surely the Lord wants to speak to us, and he wants us to respond to his word, and he wants to see changes taking place in our lives. Are we ready for that? For those changes? Do we need the same message that Samuel preached to the people of Israel on that occasion? I know it may seem a long way from 2023 after Christ, but Listen to these words, this summary of Samuel's message again. If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, verse 3, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you, and so on. Is this not applicable to us today? It may not be the Baals. It may not be the Ashtoreth. We may be asking, who were the Ashtoreth anyway? What were the Ashtoreth? We don't need to know the details of all of that right now. But they were false gods. They were substitute gods. They were the gods of the people all around them. But do we not have our equivalents today of those Baals and Ashtoreths and other false gods at that time? When we follow the gods of the people around us, our neighbors, maybe family members, when our values are no different from the values of the world around us, have we not fallen into the same trap as the Israelites at that time? Are there not things that we need to make a break with and put out of our lives and serve the Lord and him only? It's so easy to fall into compromise. It's so easy to try to serve both God and money. The problem is not money. The problem is the love of money. And the problem is when we put money at the same level of importance as God himself, or even at a higher level. And we can do that with loved ones and people, not just things like money. Idolatry is the essence of all sin. It's when the Lord does not occupy the first place and the most important place in our hearts and lives. Are there some particular sins, perhaps, that we, you and I, need to repent of? Or maybe together as a church, do we not sometimes commit sins corporately as a church? What changes do we need to make? With the Lord's help, of course. So if we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, we need leaders of integrity, we need faithful preachers, we need to repent of our sins. And then fourthly, we need to cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. In this passage, there's a clear emphasis on prayer. But it's not just called prayer. It's crying out to God, which suggests prayer that's especially fervent and passionate and felt by us as we pray. It's a sense of desperation. We're not just praying, we're crying out to the Lord, because we can't live a moment longer without him intervening in mercy in our situation. Look at verse 3 again. Prepare your hearts for the Lord, Samuel said to them. Verse 5, he says, I will pray to the Lord for you. Verse 8, they say to him, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us. Verse 9 at the end, then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. Throughout this passage, there is an emphasis on prayer, on crying out to God. They felt their need of it. They pleaded with Samuel, Samuel, please don't stop crying out to God for us. And he assured them, don't worry, I'm going to carry on crying out to God for you. And he did that, even here in this passage. Prayer is vital. Prayer is an expression of our need. We pray because we feel our need of the Lord, our need to pray. When we don't pray, it's because we're feeling too self-sufficient, able to manage without the Lord's help. But when we really pray, it's because we feel desperately our need of the Lord's help. And prayer is an expression of dependence, but it's also an expression of hope, like the hope we were just singing about. We pray because we believe that God is able to answer our prayers and make a difference in our lives and in our situations. He's able to save people. He's able to help us in our trials and tribulations. It's because we believe that we approach God with hope as we cry out to him in our desperation. So if we want the Lord to turn our mourning, whatever kind of mourning that may be, then surely crying out to the Lord is one of the things that we need to do first and foremost. Feel and recognize our desperate need and come before God in prayer, fervent prayer, passionate prayer, cry out to God. So we need leaders of integrity. We need faithful preachers, more faithful preachers. We need to repent of our sins. We need to cry out to the Lord. Number five, this is so important. We could easily miss this. If we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, we need to keep going back to the cross. We need to keep going back to the cross. You may be thinking, where's the cross? Here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And it's true, of course, that at that time, the cross was still 1,000 years in the future. But all through the Old Testament, there are pointers to Jesus and pointers to the cross. So are there any pointers to Jesus or to the cross here in this chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter 7? Well, yes, there's at least one that I can see in verse 9. Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. In the previous chapter, chapter 6, we saw how the Philistines, in spite of their relative ignorance of God's laws and of God's way of salvation, even they sent a trespass offering to the Lord when they sent the Ark of the Lord back to Israel. And now in chapter 7, we see Samuel himself offering a burnt offering to the Lord. Weren't all those offerings before Christ pointers to the greatest offering of all, the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ himself on the cross? Isn't that what the book of Hebrews is all about? The book of Hebrews is addressed to those Hebrew Christians who were suffering so much that they were thinking of abandoning the Lord and giving up their faith and going back to Judaism without Christ. It would have been far easier and they would have had a more comfortable existence doing that. But the author of Hebrews exhorts them and encourages them, don't do that, brothers and sisters. Don't give up your faith. Don't abandon Jesus. Don't you see that he is everything to us? He is greater than the angels, chapter 1. He's greater than Moses, chapter 3. He's greater than Aaron and Joshua. He's greater than all those Jewish high priests and priests. He's greater than all the sacrifices of all the hundreds of thousands of animals sacrificed over the centuries. Jesus is greater than all of that and all of them. That's the message of Hebrews. Don't turn your backs on Jesus, because he is all that really matters. And that, almost the last section of Hebrews, several chapters, is all about the Old Testament sacrifices and how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that. And he is the greatest sacrifice of all. But not like the priests who were sinners offering for their own sins. No, he was greater than all of them. Not like the priests offering animals. No, he didn't come to offer an animal. He came to offer himself, his own body on the cross, for our salvation. And doesn't the suckling lamb that Samuel offered that day as a burnt offering to the Lord point to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? We shouldn't be able to read or hear the word offering without thinking about the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our salvation. The cross of Christ is not only the basis of our salvation and our peace with God, it is also the basis on which the Lord is able to turn our mourning into dancing. It's because of the cross that that is possible. If we want to be saved, yes, we need to go to the cross. If you want to grow spiritually, if we become stagnant in our Christian lives, we need to go back to the cross. If our love for the Lord has gone off the boil, we need to go back to the cross. And if we are mourning in any sense, we need to go back again to the cross, to the cross, to the cross. If we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, we need to return to that place where the Son of God, the only mediator between God and us, gave himself as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for our sins. We need then leaders of integrity. We need faithful preachers like Samuel. We need to repent of our sins. We need to cry out to the Lord, not just say our prayers. Cry out to the Lord. We need to keep going back again and again to the cross. And now, sixthly and finally, if we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, we need the Lord to intervene. We need the Lord to intervene. Yes, Samuel preached faithfully. The people repented and put away their false gods. They cried out to the Lord, and so did Samuel on their behalf. Samuel offered up that burnt offering. But where did salvation, where did victory come from? It came from the Lord himself. Samuel encouraged them to return to the Lord with all their hearts, verse 3. He prayed to the Lord on their behalf, verse 5. He offered that burnt offering to the Lord, verse 9. He cried out to the Lord again on their behalf, the end of verse 9. And what happened? The Lord answered those prayers. The Lord thundered with a loud thunder on the Philistines, verse 10. The Lord helped his people, verse 12. And the Lord protected his people from the Philistines, not only on that occasion, but throughout the rest of Samuel's life, for many years afterwards. The Lord never again allowed the Philistines to trouble the people of Israel. So who was it that saved the Israelites from the Philistines? We know the answer. It was the Lord. Who turned their mourning into dancing? It was the Lord. Yes, if we want the Lord to do that, we need to hear his word. We need to respond to his word with sincere repentance. We need to cry out to the Lord with all our hearts and keep going back to the cross again and again. But none of all of that will work unless the Lord himself intervenes in mercy and in power. Only the Lord himself can answer our prayers and defeat and scatter our enemies and turn our mourning into dancing. Our enemies, starting with our own sins, are much stronger than us, but the Lord is infinitely stronger than all our enemies. When he thunders from heaven, our enemies, like the Philistines, are confused and overcome and scattered, and our mourning is turned into dancing. So, if we want the Lord to turn our mourning into dancing, let us pray for leaders of integrity, like Samuel. Let us ask the Lord to give us more and more faithful preachers and teachers of his word. Let us recognize, confess, and repent of our sins, yours and mine. Let us cry out to the Lord and encourage each other to do that. Let us go back to the cross of Christ again and again. And let us put our trust only in the Lord. Let us plead with him to intervene, to thunder, as it were, from heaven again, in order to defeat and scatter our many enemies and to turn our mourning into dancing. You have turned, said David, my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.